When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, we have news right away. So, all right, of course, welcome back to the show. It's just me this week. Taryn will be back with us end of the week. Well, I'm going to have a special guest. We're talking about an upcoming documentary. It's going to be great. Anyway, we have World Series champion, of course, the Houston Astros. Congratulations. The Philadelphia Phillies, you know what? I know Mets fans don't want to hear this. They earned their spot as National League champions. They made a hell of a run. Did they finish low in the standings? Did they, you know, yes, of course they did. They expanded playoffs, allowed them in, but they got hot. They beat really good teams, and they, you know, they had their opportunities. I'm still wondering what Kyle Schwarber was doing laying down a bunt in the biggest game of the year. Very much wondering why Zach Wheeler came out of that game. I know Phillies manager Rob Thompson explained his rationale, and you know, Alvarado was terrific. He didn't allow an earned run in September, but as soon as the postseason started, he wasn't the same. He was shaky. He had good outings, but I think he allowed two runs three times, and otherwise he was, you know, pretty much on point. But still, if you got Zach Wheeler going, and I know, I don't have the numbers here, but I know he was at 51 pitches through four, and 37 of those pitches were strikes. I mean, he was cruising, and that's a really, really talented team. You know, Alvarez, who was not having a great World Series, of course, when he connects, forget it. He's, you know, a game changer. We'll talk about that in a second, but you just, if it's me, Zach Wheeler fandom aside, I think I still let Zach Wheeler get out of that himself. You know, he was arguably coming off an injury. I know that there was whispers of that, and then, oh no, everybody's healthy, but he was pushed back a few times. Why you would push your, you know, arguable ace back. Anyway, that's neither here nor there at this point, but, you know, it could change the World Series. But Yordan Alvarez, oh my goodness. So that home run traveled 450 feet. It was, oh, I believe 112 and change off the bat. I'm sitting downstairs, I'm watching the game with my wife, and I stood up. I said, you know, where that ball landed is not where you expect to see that ball land. You know, you could tell right off the bat it was a home run, but you know, you're expecting it to hit off that tall batter's eye, and it landed above that batter's eye, and that's just incredible. You know, the Astros fans exploded. You almost felt the air come out of the Phillies dugout, and again, you know, they had a great run. That's just a phenomenal offense. You know, you add pieces around that pitching staff, and that's going to be another bona fide contender in the NL East for at least a few years to come. I mean, you still have multiple years of Wheeler, Nola, most of that offense. You know, there's going to be plenty to go around there. And if they, you know, coming off the momentum that they just put together, and an owner who is, you know, absolutely willing to spend, especially now, you have to expect them to go full bore, try and make this happen again for them. It's going to really put a lot on the Mets' plate. You look at what they've done just in the, you know, I guess, what, 24, 48 or so hours since the World Series has ended. They've already locked up Edwin Diaz. We got that news, oh, I don't know, around 5:30 p.m. on Sunday night, which was not terribly surprising. I know our buddy Mike Mayer over at Mets Merized Had this pegged probably middle of October that the Mets were going to try to get this done quick. And, you know, that's about as beneficial as it gets from the New York Mets standpoint. I mean, you can, anytime you can cross one of your most pressing offseason tasks off that list, you know, about as early as you could possibly do it, you know, that's extremely beneficial. And for Diaz, you know, coming in at 5 years, $102 million, which is the largest contract for any relief pitcher in Major League history, both by total value and by AAV, average annual salary, you know, just a historic personal achievement. This works out well for everybody, not necessarily for everybody. Keith Law of The Athletic, who, you know, Keith's a terrific, terrific baseball writer. I enjoy his work. He is quite critical of this deal, and he makes some solid points. I mean, when you're looking at long-term deals for relievers, historically, and this isn't just Keith's opinion, this is statistical facts, it hasn't really gone well. You know, you look at Craig Kimbrell, you look at Greg Holland, you look at Kenley Jansen, and these are all being rattled off from Law's article, Aroldis Chapman, Andrew Miller. You know, these guys, I guess, yeah, these are the five pitchers since 2000 that have thrown at least 50 innings in a season with a sub 2.5 fielding independent pitching rating. My goodness, we're just gonna say 2.5 FIP in four or five consecutive years. And those are the guys I just rattled off. You know, after those points, guys have fallen off tremendously. Diaz last season had a 0.90 FIP, led the majors, led relievers by far, led all pitchers in the majors by far. His called strike whiff rate, which was 42.1, also led every pitcher in the majors. Didn't matter if you were a starter or reliever. As long as you had 20 innings pitched, Edwin Diaz outpaced you in called strike and whiff rate. I believe he struck out over 50% of the batters that he faced this year. He earned this contract, and he's 28 years old. I believe he's, I don't know if he's going into the season at 29, but he's currently 28. Five seasons, you're getting him into his 34-year-old season, I believe. Yeah, it'll be his 30. I believe that's the case. It doesn't matter, 33, 34, whatever. You're getting a guy through his prime years who's always had raw ability, the raw, you know, some of the rawest ability that we've seen in the major leagues. You know, 2018, he was basically still a, you know, wet behind the ears kid. He had a nice start to his seat, to his major league career. His first two seasons in Seattle, 2016, 2017, I think he combined for 3.0 something ERA, 3.06. You know, the next year he just exploded in Seattle and became, you know, the guy that, you know, moved him over to New York. He had, 1.96 ERA in 2018? Just incredible. And it was a 3.06 ERA over his first two seasons. You know, comes to New York, all of this pressure. And, you know, of course, Robinson Cano was the centerpiece of that deal. At the time, centerpiece being the most expensive part. But, you know, the value was coming from Edwin Diaz. At the time, of course, the Mets given up Jared Kelenic and just a half a roster of, or a quarter roster of players to send over to Seattle to get Robinson Cano, who was, you know, coming off of his first suspension, really expensive. And Edwin Diaz, who at the time was, you know, of course, potential through the roof, but unproven, and those, you know, those doubts really did come to fruition in 2019, Diaz's first year. And forget about Cano. Cano never reached the heights that the front office that traded for him hoped he would. He of course hit the the PED, the second PED suspension, and, you know, his career just quietly kind of whittled and died from there. But again, with Diaz, he comes here in 2019. He pitches to a 5. Oh, I have the number here. Hold on. 5.59 ERA in 2019. He allowed 15 home runs, which was, I believe, sixth most in the majors for a reliever. I believe it was led 18 was the leader for any pitcher who pitched as a reliever. But, you know, considering that at the time, Kelenic, his stock was still through the roof, and Diaz was, of course, you know, what most fans at the time were really hoping for to blossom. You know, this was a huge, huge letdown. And it's not that his stuff was terrible. He was still throwing that four-seam slider combination. It was the same stuff that got him through his first few years. He never really wavered from that. But it wasn't, I said it at the Apple, just, you know, quick breaking news bit, which actually felt really good to write. But anyway, it felt like it wasn't refined. And we've said this on the show before, you know, Diaz's four seam, which moves like a two seam, you know, it was drifting into the heart of the plate. His slider, of course, deadly, but if you have a fastball that's going to, you know, bleed into very, very hot zones for hitters, they don't care about the slider. They're just going to wait on that fastball. What Diaz has been able to do, of course, you know, between just his growth as a pitcher and what Jeremy Hefner and the Mets staff has been able to do to kind of foster that growth, he's turned into a guy who's not only, you know, found his stuff as a pitcher, not just a flamethrower. He knows when to go to what. He knows what guy, you know, you can see him becoming I know he's 28, but you could see him developing those veteran pitcher traits of just, you know, whether it's a shakeoff, whether it's you take a little bit off the fastball, you know, start it, you know, just, you know, go up the ladder, as you might say, throughout an at-bat, whatever the case may be. He's doing this, and he's doing it with confidence. I think he said it way, way early in the season. I think Gelbs asked him about his slider. He said, "Oh, that's nasty." And boy, that, you know, not only was hearing Edwin Diaz speak in English awesome, because, you know, maybe I guess his first few years here, maybe we heard it once or twice, but mostly his interviews were done in Spanish through a translator. Our buddy Alan Surio, who I saw at during the Wild Card series. What's up, Alan? And, you know, you almost heard the confidence in his voice just grow and grow and grow. And as his season became more and more magical and more unbelievable, and, you know, he's just doing these amazing things, you felt it come together for him as a pitcher. And you knew that he was going to head into this free agency, head into this offseason as, you know, the top of the list for relief pitchers, arguably around the top of the list for all free agents. And yeah, you know, as noted, the Mets and Diaz were both very interested in making this work again. And you know, look at everything that happened last year with Timmy Trumpets and the way the fans have embraced Diaz since, you know, over the course of his journey here from 2019 all the way up. You know, this is a guy who was a lightning rod for fans. And he took the brunt of it, and he just kept on growing. He kept on moving, kept on getting better. And, you know, look at him now. Just from a fan's perspective, that's amazing. That this is, you know, at least personally, this is what I sign up for as a fan. Like, becoming fans of players, not just a fan of a team, which you guys can all relate to. I took some heat for it because I'm fans of players from all teams. I might dislike the team, but I still like the player. I'm just able to do that. And that's not a knock on anybody else. I guess I'm the weird one, but whatever. you're able to see the course that these guys take to bring them to you know, on what you may have thought were unreachable heights. I mean, you know, look at Trey Mancini, and this is a much wider ranging, you know, scope, but Trey Mancini spends his career, or the early portion of his career in Baltimore, which is a passionate fan base, but just a downtrodden organization. And he's like the beacon of this organization. And he goes through some just personal, terrible adversity. And, you know, he emotionally, very emotionally, leaves Baltimore, goes to Houston. And, you know, now he comes out a World Series champion. I mean, you know, these are the journeys that we watch. I mean, you look at Edwin Diaz, and no, he hasn't had maybe, you know, the health adversity, but and it's incomparable, of course. But looking at where Edwin Diaz was and where Edwin Diaz is now tonight, I'm recording this at 7 p.m. I'm watching the very short 4 p.m. NFL slate. Putting two games on, and there's, you know, this is after the World Series. Man, they should be cooking right now. Anyway, you know, just the full spectrum of Edwin Diaz coming here to New York under the conditions that he did after the first year that he had here, and the trajectory that he's been on since, and now he's the highest paid reliever in the history of baseball. It's nothing short of amazing. It's what you write movie scripts about. Well, not about, but you add it in there. That's the sort of crescendo that, you know, what are these athletes working for? You work for a World Series title or a championship in your respective sport, and securing that almighty bag, man. I mean, at the end of the day, this is work for athletes. You're going to work. You're doing your job. Who doesn't want to reach the pinnacle of their chosen profession? That's what Edwin Diaz just did. Is he Mariano Rivera? No. There's never going to be another Mariano Rivera. But the course that he's charting right now, Diaz, what he can be in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, can keep up with what you would call the greatest relievers to ever play the game. You can't tab anything to him now. You really can't say, oh, historically it hasn't worked out. Well, because historically no one's really done what Edwin Diaz has been able to do. Of course, guys have had incredible seasons. And longevity in relievers is fine. I mean, look at Josh Hader. For all his other issues, the off-field stuff and whatever, on the field, I mean, save for a couple of ups and downs, and I don't think anyone's immune from that, he's been incredible going on multiple seasons. You know, guys are they're not machines. They're always going to have to, you know, either lose their way, find their way, whatever the case is. But the trick is getting it back into, well, one, staying healthy, and two, getting back on track when things do go off the rails. And you know, that's the sign of greatness. And I think Diaz has been able to do that. And he's been able to do it in such a dramatic, substantial way, considering the derailment that he had to go through under the microscope that he did it. And it's just, it's very cool to see, very well deserved. Personally, I'm happy with the deal. I think $20 million plus a year for a reliever is a little bit scary, but, you know, these are the new Mets. These are the new New York Mets. These Mets, you know, hopefully that that'll catch on in another in another fashion, because boy, it kind of fell on its face during the postseason this year. But whatever the case may be, big news to start the offseason. We're going to take a very quick break. It's going to be a really quick episode. Again, just me talking some talking my stuff, and yeah, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. And again, it's just me right now. And as we said, Taryn will be back later in the week. He's been doing his work thing. He just did his bar exam. I couldn't imagine the size of the plate and the amount of, we'll call it food. Just the amount of stuff on his plate right now, getting into that world. But, it is what it is. I think everything's picking up now with the World Series over, with the Mets already diving into their off-season business, which, as we said in the first half, checking Edwin Diaz off that list in the quick order that they did, that's huge. It's great. I don't know. I believe this will put the Mets at around $250 million on the payroll tax. The competitive balance tax payroll. I believe around $250 million. You got to check Roster Resource at FanGraphs. They're unbelievable. They probably already have it updated, but I just don't have it pulled up. The Mets do still have a lot of decisions. We talked about it last week. We talked about it probably the episode before that. There's a lot to worry about. But again, getting such a tremendous decision or just task off the list right away, that brings up a lot of other questions in, I guess, more, it brings up everything else in a much clearer order. Of course you want to go ahead and tackle Jacob DeGrom. Of course you want to go ahead and, Chris Bassett, of course, has already opted out. You have all of these, internal options. You have, I'm sure, a punch list of stuff that these teams that the Mets want to accomplish before, the offseason really kicks off. You have winter meetings, GM meetings, all coming up over the course of the next few, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. There's a lot to talk about. There's going to be a lot coming across the table. Dan Vogelbach already coming back for $1.5 million. That's a big thing, but it's only just a start. I mean, the level of quality depth that the Mets were able to put together last year was great. Clearly, they didn't, I don't want to say they didn't hit their mark on every spot. Well, I guess that's probably true. They didn't hit the marks they should have in certain areas, but I think their heads and their wallets were in the right place as far as, hey, we're going to put together a team that's, not only built to win financially, but talent-wise. As we just said, they certainly did miss spots there, but that's what the offseason's for now. They're going to go ahead and make the necessary adjustments, and I think getting to things early, and of course, like we said, locking up Diaz, and I'm sure they're going to be testing the water, seeing where Jacob DeGrom's head's at, and I wouldn't be surprised if DeGrom's going to go out and kind of talk to other teams. And I expect him to fully go out and get his full worth. I do expect him to come back to the Mets, but I expect him to come back to the Mets with a very hefty offer from somebody else. And the Mets are going to have to match that because, at the time when Jacob DeGrom signed his contract, it wasn't necessarily a below-market deal, but shortly thereafter, I mean, Gerrit Cole and even, when a pitcher like Zach Wheeler signs the deal that he did, and, you look at where Jacob DeGrom is or was and is and has been, and you say, wow, I mean, Jacob DeGrom probably deserved a lot more money. But, at the time, it was what it was. It's a lot of deferred money as well because it was under the last regime, and Jacob DeGrom wants to get paid. There's nothing wrong with that. Jacob DeGrom's going to get paid. So, the Mets, I'm sure, have a prioritized list of what they want to do and where they want to take things, and that's perfectly fine. And just to kind of reiterate that point, knocking Diaz out of the way as early as they possibly can, I mean, that's just a big, huge win for the Mets and for Diaz. He seems happy here. He seems like he's absolutely on top of his game. So, what's next? I mean, you know, of course, once the World Series ended, you had pretty much the Mets' entire list of free agents hit the list. Diaz, of course, on the list, right off the list. But Brandon Nimmo, who's we talked about him at length last episode, and you have to kind of. By the way, that was a great episode with Rich McLeod at Just Mets. I hope you guys are following along. I know everyone's taking their off-season breaks, but everyone's going to be, you know, back in full swing now that the Mets are kicking into their winter gear. And yeah, certainly check out our friends over at Just Mets. It's Michael Barron, it's Linda Servich, Rich McLeod, and my apologies. I know I'm missing maybe two people, but yeah. That was completely off the cuff, but it really was a good time with Rich. I hope to have him back. And anyway, so Nimmo and Jacob deGrom, of course, once he opts out, I don't believe that is official just yet, but certainly coming. Jacob deGrom, Brandon Nimmo, Adam Ottavino, Seth Lugo, Trevor May, Joely Rodriguez, and Tommy Hunter. Tommy Hunter has expressed his desire to come back. I think that would be a really, really nice depth piece. Whenever he's called on, he was good. When he came back from injury this year, he was great. Speaking of coming back from injury this year, Trevor May was more than serviceable. Trevor May, I believe he was here 2 years, $15.5 million or something along those lines. Yeah. 2 years, $15.5 million. Injuries cut him down. And again, under the microscope of New York, the bad is certainly a lot more accentuated than the good. But boy, I mean, Trevor May had stretches where he was just outstanding. And outside of the injuries this season, which, I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, if you listen to him on Twitch during his live streams, I mean, this is a guy who was just absolutely beaten down by the process. We talked to him at the Apple. We had an article up where, you know, not being there, you're just kind of forced to let the process play out and make sure that you're at your best when you're ready. And he comes back and he's just, he was ready. And he did all he could. I think there was some rust that shook off there in the beginning. But boy, down the stretch, he was you know, what you were looking for. I think once he proved he was ready for more more leveraged spots, he handled those well. And, you know, just down the stretch, we talked about in the last episode, everything was just kind of funky down the stretch for that team. And, I don't want to put it on players, but, you know, the vibe itself, I guess. Anyway, Trevor May was fine. I would bring him back if he gets, you know, a really nice deal elsewhere. You can't knock him for it, and you probably couldn't even knock the Mets for not going over what they deem as you know, this is probably our ceiling here. I would like to see them at least, you know, poke around and see what the story is. But, you know, maybe Trevor May's ready to move on. Who knows? Trevor May's a friend of the pod. Maybe we'll have to talk to Trevor May. Maybe we'll just have to ask him, but We'll get to that. It's a long, long off season, guys. Outside of that, the Mets really do have decisions. Adam Ottavino, we talked about how important he was to the bullpen last year. You have to think he has to be in the Mets' plans moving forward. Seth Lugo, if you heard him talk about his future during the, once the Mets season ended, he was quite emotional about it, and you get the sense that he's probably on his way. So, you know, all the best to him. He was incredible here. But if he does make his way back, I do feel like there's a place for him in this bullpen. But Joely, I mean, such those opposite splits. They threw all of us for a loop. But once we knew how the Mets were using him, once we understood how the Mets were using him, and once he, you know, his value became evident, which was over the, you know, the latter part of the second half, you know, for the few million it might cost to keep him here, even just on a 1 year deal, what would it be? $3-4 million, $5 million? You know, arbitration money. He's 31, I want to say, something like that. It wouldn't be a lot. I mean, again, this is a guy that if he gets a better deal elsewhere, cool. If he's willing to come back here on money that everyone agrees with and gives the Mets breathing room to do everything else they have to do, absolutely. I will have Trevor May and Joely Rodriguez and Tommy Hunter and Adam Ottavino. Adam Ottavino, he's going to get elite reliever money because he was an elite reliever last year. And I do hope the Mets kick in a little extra to keep him around. I think that will be valuable. But as far as Lugo, May, Joely, Hunter, you know, I think these guys will fit, but they've got to fit at the, you know, at the numbers that make sense for the Mets to continue to make upgrades. There's a prioritized list of those guys of, you know, who the Mets should be willing to go a little bit further to keep in the mix. And I think everyone might have their merits, but, you know, you just have to kind of play it cool and see where it goes. Personally, I would like to see Nimmo back, but I'm not sure if he comes back. I think that Colorado would suit him really well. Whether it be the spacious outfield, whether it be the extra pop on his bat, humidor or not, it's still there. It's still a thing, absolutely. Being close to home, I think that that would be an absolutely perfect spot for him. But I could also see him, you know, becoming a fixture in the outfields in Seattle. I know Jesse Winker. Unfollowed the Mariners and the organization and all that stuff on his social medias this week. So maybe there will be another hole out there. And, you know, they still have a lot of faith in Kelenic, and Julio Rodriguez is a stud, and they still have Taylor Trammell. They still have a lot of really, really talented pieces. But, you know, if Haniger's on his way out, Brandon Nimmo is like a solid upgrade from Mitch Haniger. And, you know, maybe he fits out there. I think there might be a few teams that'll be interested in Nimmo, but I just, you know, I don't see him fetching superstar money. I still peg him at maybe he gets $20 million a year. $20 million is probably fair. I'm still worried that the fact that he's only played 100 games in his career twice, but, you know, when he's on the field, he's just such a difference maker. Gets on base, scores runs, plays the field very well. You know, you really can't complain except for the durability. But if he's going to stay healthy, you know, give me that 3-4 years. I don't know. What did Marte get? Marte got 4 years, 78. Give him 475. See if he sticks around with Boris as his agent. It's not going to happen, but give it a shot. We'll see. We'll be going over these things. We'll have trade talk. We'll have all these things. Again, Taryn's back this week. We both had little conversations via text, via DM. Yeah, I think he's in somewhere in the Midwest or something. He's not at home right now. Of course, he's in the Midwest. He lives in Minnesota, but he's traveling somewhere. He'll have to tell us all about that. Otherwise, we're going to be back. We're going to be pumping out content at the Apple. We're going to be probably here once a week through the off season, maybe twice if things come up. But, otherwise, we're cooking. Oh, we're going to be represented at the Queens Baseball Convention once again. That's going to be in Flushing in December. Our buddy Mark Healy at the Rockaway Wave was kind enough to ask me back onto the State of the Mets panel, which I believe is leading off the show. Not sure exactly what time that is, but we're leading off the day, and there'll be festivities through the afternoon and probably well into the early evening. And it was such a great time last year. You guys should definitely get your tickets, make your arrangements to get there. And it's in Flushing. It should be a really, really cool scene. And yeah, right now, I know it's myself, Tim Healy from Newsday, Eric Sherman, who wrote a really, really great book on the 86 Rays. He's wrote a few books, but excuse me. His most recent book on the 86 Red Sox was terrific. I think there's going to be a different vibe around this team. You know, last year it was excitement, but you really didn't know what to expect. This year we know what to expect. This team won 101 games last year. They fell flat on their face after doing it. And I know I'm ready for them to take it to the next level. You have to expect that the team's ready to do that too. But again, we're going to get into all that throughout the winter. Taryn's back next week. Otherwise, you guys know the sign-ups. Let's fucking go, Mets, and we'll see you next time. Peace.